This podcast replay is brought to you by Sports Grill. With over 35 years of making it special grilled, they're celebrating the start of football season with 15% off all bone-in wings. Visit any of their 7 locations all over South Florida.
So let's move over to Tallahassee and let's go talk to Ira Schoffel from warchant.com. And so, you know, you guys were reporting last week that the practices weren't that really impressive overall, that things were throughout the week there at FSU. And then the performance was a little And I wonder if the same disease that happens, that may be happening in Tallahassee, I'm not sure, but it has festered at the University of Miami for, I would say, Manny would probably agree with me, a little over 15, 17 years, that a lot of these kids, it doesn't take a lot for them to carry somebody else's accomplishments, and they feel like they arrived. So did Florida State get too big ahead with the early success going into this game that they weren't necessarily as sharp preparing, and then the performance against Wake Forest followed the practices? Walk us through all of that, sir.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. And, you know, I asked Mike Norvell about it after the game because – the practices last week weren't great, and he even remarked about it at the time, and we are able to watch practices. I didn't think Jordan Travis in the passing game was very sharp either of the days we were out there. It just seemed like it was like a little bit just something off, and you couldn't really put your finger on it. He defended the players and said it wasn't a lack of effort, so that would make you think it's not getting the big head. But I think you might be onto something, because sometimes when you're playing well and you're having success or you're winning games, you let the details slip and you kind of think, I'm winning because I'm good and this team's winning because we're good. And you got to remember, no, it's because of all those little things you're doing and the emphasis you put on those little things. And I think that may have slipped last week. We were out there today. You could tell the coaching staff was really trying to ramp up the intensity, telling the running backs to make sure they're going full speed on every drill. The offensive linemen make sure they're being aggressive and assertive. They felt like they were a little tentative in that game. So I don't know that it was a something you could say it's a lack of effort last week, but I do wonder if maybe there was just some slippage sharpness. In terms of
The sharpness.
Exactly.
Ira, obviously I drove up there for the game and covered it for The Athletic, so I got a chance to see those guys firsthand. You know, to be honest with you, I think this Wake Forest is just such an unbelievably well-coached team, and that slow mesh system, I really think that you'd like to see more teams adopt it. You know, Miami might want to steal a page from these guys because it was so effective against FSU. All that said, there are some guys that have been banged up for Florida State, key guys. Are any of them going to be back this week? Because it's obviously an important game.
Yeah, and that is part of it. You know, the defensive line coming into the season, we thought Florida State might have one of the better defensive lines in the ACC, not probably up there with Clemson, but you know, in that next tier. Two of them were out. Fabian Lovett was out. Jared Verse was limited. He ended up coming in and playing about 20 snaps, but that's about a quarter of the game. And then on the offensive line, Robert Scott, the offensive tackle, left tackle, was out. I think there's a decent chance Robert Scott will be back at left tackle. Jared Verse came out of that game in good shape. They feel like he didn't have any kind of setback, and he'll play more and more as the weeks go on. So those two are really positive. The one remaining one is Fabian Lovett, a defensive tackle. They feel like he's an NFL guy, probably their best defensive lineman, and he's been out now for 3 or 4 weeks. I don't think he'll be back this week. I think maybe they get him back for Clemson, which would be great. But I don't know right now if I would say he's going to be back this week. But the other two are definitely positive developments.
All right, Ira, I got to ask. So, you know, they're kind of known for this. So I'm just wondering, when you sign on to be a kicker at FSU, are you required to go wide right and wide left? I'm just, you know, because they got another mess going on there. And there's the coach going, let me see what the hell is going on here. So what's going on with the kicker? Is it something in the water? Is it a requirement in the whole thing? Hey, here's your scholarship, kid. Are you going right or are you going left?
I think you got a little amnesia, because they've also had some good ones Roberto Aguayo was pretty good. Sebastian Janikowski was pretty good. You know, it's funny because back in the day, you're right.
The young guys right now taking after those.
No, I know. I got you for sure. And this guy is he's in his head right now. Ryan Fitzgerald started last year. He was 10 of 13 as a redshirt freshman. You felt like, okay, he missed some kicks, but you felt like, okay, he's got a chance maybe to be pretty good. And he's 4 out of 9 right now, and his longest field goal of the season was 30 yards. He missed a 29-yarder in that game. They threw him out there at the end to kick a 55-yarder. It might as well have been 85 yards, and he missed that. And, yeah, it's right now they're not saying it's an open competition, but they're not as adamant that he's their kicker right now. So they have a walk-on or two that they may look at this week. But it's a mess because they actually went for two a couple times instead of kicking the extra points. As you get into these games like NC State and Clemson, where every point is going to be so valuable, it's definitely a tough situation right now.
So I heard sorority houses have their guys like lined up trying to try out. I don't know. By the way, I thought it was interesting, Manny. You covered FSU, and I thought what was really cool is when you're hearing the coach from FSU say a lot of the things. Coach of the University of Miami was saying when coming off these disappointing losses, accountability. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a term at Tallahassee right now, coming off this loss. They want accountability from the last week, from the practices to the games. And then obviously Mario was all about that, dude. He was like, no, we got to look in the mirror. We got to look in the mirror, you know, and all that. So he made no excuses and pointed zero fingers. So I'm wondering if you kind of saw a little bit of the same stuff going on there on both stops.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is year three, right, for Norvell over there. And I just think he's got his imprint on the team now. I think, you know, Mario, for as strong a personality that he has, you know, you could tell 4 games in, this team still isn't playing the way that he wants them to. I do think Norvell, you know, the players in terms of understanding him, understanding what he wants, I think that's been established. They're just a little bit further advanced. I'll tell you the one thing that impressed me, that doesn't happen here at Miami, and maybe I'm dead wrong, Ira. You've been up there a lot longer than I have, but that's the first time I've covered a non-Miami Florida State game in Tallahassee. Even though they lost that game, there was no cussing, there was no booing, there was no nasty attitude from the fan base in the stadium, unlike here at Miami, when they have no problem booing Mario in game 3 or 4. And, you know, not that you shouldn't boo, but I will
quarter.
Say.
It was the sixth quarter where they booed him. What are you talking about, game 3 or 4? They have to boo his ass.
But I will say, and I don't know if you agree with me, both of you guys can chime in on this, but, I mean, that hurts recruiting. And there's no booing, there's guys there watching that game. It's a different environment than when you watch a game at Miami.
Yeah, no, they've had their moments. You know, last year, for example, when FSU had Mackenzie Milton, and everybody wanted that storybook ending with Mackenzie Milton. And when Jordan went into a game, you could hear some groans from the fans and things like that. And if this kicker situation goes on much longer, you might hear some boos. But no, I mean, I think the reality is, I don't know why it's in our – look, I get it. Sometimes I think the fans are booing the coach, which, you know, hey, they get paid millions of dollars. They deserve it. But you're right, man. If you're a recruit sitting there and listening to that, how do you take that? How do you feel like this is a place I want to be? And it happens at a lot of schools.
Well, I think also for me, just to throw in my theory, Miami's a pro town.
Right.
It's not really a college town, you know. And I've talked about this many times. Go walk onto the University of Miami campus, and a lot of those faces, they're not Americans. They're coming in to get their degree, and they're flying right back to their country with that education, and they're moving on. So that happens, and it's such a small student base that it really relies on regular fans.
Right.
So they treat the University of Miami like if they were the Miami Dolphins or the Miami Heat or the Panthers or whatever. And I think it's not a college town where they're kind of geared where that's the centerpiece of that town. Because there is no pro teams or anything like that. So it's really difficult. In Gainesville and Tallahassee, you can have a true college-like atmosphere. And most of us, let's be honest now, most of us can send our kids to Florida, Florida State, you know, FIU, FAU, you know, state schools. Most of us can't afford to send our kids to the University of Miami. It's just way too much money. So it takes a different caliber kid. Those kids probably aren't really hooked to the sporting side of it. And it's just a different atmosphere for them. I think USC might suffer some of the same stuff. I'm not exactly sure because I'm not out there, but I kind of get the sense that they have a little bit of the same disease that we have too down here. I don't know.
You know, it's funny you say that because my daughter, my oldest daughter, is a really smart kid and toured all three schools during her recruiting process as a student. She's a really smart kid and got into all three. And I went with her on the tours to each of the schools. Miami is the only one where during all of the presentations, they never really showed athletic stuff. Like, it was all about the academics. And I was blown away by it. I was like, oh, my God, of course you're going to go here. Because it's such a – and she – and in Florida, they showed these videos of Billy Donovan and all the basketball success and football success. Florida State, obviously, their football stuff. But Miami, man, it was all academics. And those kids in those presentations, yeah, I don't know if they'll ever go to a game at the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a weird atmosphere for the University of Miami. I really feel bad for them in that sense.